You are listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today's talk comes from Pastor Jeff Mose.
Well, if you haven't been able to tell, we're in the middle of a series we've entitled Forget Yourself. We said in the year 2023, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to forget about ourselves and we'd like to live for an audience of one. We'd like to live in such a way that we please God and we please God alone. We've been making our way through Matthew chapter 6, which is a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we come today to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to talk about giving. And all of the church said, ugh. Because giving is never a popular topic, is it? And don't blame me, this is just the next passage that comes, so I got to deal with it this morning, but I'm excited about it. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take sort of a different vantage point with regards to this issue today. I want you to think for a moment that you know nothing about the Bible. Now, that might be an easy stretch for some of you, much more difficult stretch for others. And I want you to think you know nothing about the church or about church leadership. Again, an easy stretch for some of you, much more difficult stretch for others. And this church comes to you and they say, in effect, we want you to be our consultant. It's a little church here in Sioux City. I'll just make up a name, Crossroads Community Church. And they're a good church. They preach and teach the Word of God. We're seeing people come to faith in Jesus Christ. They're growing in all sorts of ways. They got children's ministry, youth ministry. They care for the poor in their area, but they got a problem. And the problem is financial in nature, and it's very possible if they don't solve this problem, they're going to have to close the doors of the church, and nobody wants to see that happen. You see, 10 years ago when this church started, the pastor had a rich friend, and the rich friend said, for the next decade, I'll underwrite everything with regards to this church. So for 10 years, they never took up an offering. For 10 years, they never taught about tithing or offering. They just simply took all of the bills, sent it to this rich friend, and he would pay them. So what's the problem? The problem is it's come to an end. The picnic is over. And the pastor is in an absolute panic, and so he comes to you and he says to you, could you be our church consultant? Whatever you tell us to do with regards to this, that's what we're willing to do, but we don't want to see the church doors closed. It's making an impact in this community. We want to see the ministry continue. So what advice do you have for us? Now I want to see if great minds think alike. What would you encourage this church to do? Now, you might be tempted to say, listen, funds are about to run up, so we better come up with some money very quickly. Maybe we'll have a Christmas tree sale or a bake sale. Maybe we'll say to the kids, listen, put on a spaghetti dinner, do a walk-a-thon, a sleep-a-thon, whatever it is kids do, let's do that. Or maybe within the church we'll hold a lottery, we'll spiritualize it, we'll call it the Trinity Pick 3. Maybe we'll have Las Vegas night, but we got to come up with some way to come up with money quickly. But then you began to run the numbers, and you think to yourself, boy, the kids are going to have to spend a boatload of money in order to somehow make all of the spaghetti needs up. They're going to have to walk from Texas and back on their walk-a-thon in order to make enough money. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. And you begin to recognize how much time and energy fundraising is going to take. You're going to take away from the time of worship. You're going to take away the time that they're involved in small groups. You're going to take away from time that they're doing ministry in the community. And you say to yourself, when I run the numbers, it just doesn't make sense. What other options do you have? Well, maybe you could write some grants to some big corporations or foundation, the community. Maybe you could find another rich donor. Maybe you could ask for bigger churches to support this. Maybe you could say to President Biden, put it in the 2023 budget. Everything else is in there anyway. Why don't you just cover Crossroads Community Church? But you begin to recognize maybe that's not a good thing to do. Maybe it's not honorable. Maybe it doesn't have longevity to it. So if I was the church consultant or you were the church consultant, here's some of the principles that I would give to Crossroads Community Church. The first principle would be this, what I'd call the principle of participation. In other words, if they gave me an opportunity, I'd stand in front of Crossroads Community Church and I would say to each of them, you are Crossroads Community Church. Look to the person to your left and to the person to the right. You and you alone make up this church. And that's not the bad news. That's actually the good news. Because if every single one of you took seriously the financial future of this church, it would be incredibly bright. And here's what I know. If all of you were willing to participate, there would be a camaraderie that would grow. There would be a sense of ownership with regards to the mission and the vision of the church. You would see a sense of unity that would sort of pervade through this entire church. It would be a good thing if every single one of you participated. The second principle I would give them was what I'd call the principle of proportion. In other words, I wouldn't have a flat tax for anybody. I wouldn't say there's a fixed amount of money that any of you need to pay. That might work in country club memberships or health club memberships, but it feels patently unchristian in a church, doesn't it? The problem with membership fees is the have get in and the have-nots don't get in. And the reality is this, eventually some people feel as though they're more important than what they are. So I, in a sense, wouldn't have some sort of a flat fee where people felt left out. I recognize I wouldn't feel all that bad if I didn't get into a country club or a health club, but I'd feel really bad if somehow I couldn't afford to be involved in the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. So I'd say to Crossroads Community Church, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Ask everybody to give a proportion of their income, a percentage, if you will. Then if you have a small amount of income, you give a small percentage. If you have a medium amount of income, you give a medium percentage. If you have a large income, then you'd give a large percentage of your income. But everybody would have pretty much the same percentage so that everybody would feel as though they're a player in what's going on. I would give to them the principle of participation and the principle of proportion. Do great minds think alike so far? The third principle I would give them is this, the principle of consistency. In other words, I'd say to the members of Crossroads Community Church, listen, give on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis, at least a monthly basis, because I want to see it be consistent in your life. Why? Well, because of human nature. If you don't earmark money that is going to the work of the Lord, pretty soon all of the things of this world begin to pilfer it from you, don't they? All of a sudden, a new set of golf clubs, a new car, a new motorcycle, all of that might take away if you didn't make this a consistent pattern in your life. That every week or bi-weekly or certainly monthly, you would write a check, you would Venmo some money, you would set up an automatic withdrawal from your account. As you sat down to do the bills of your home, you would also sit down and you would give to the Church of Jesus Christ. The second reason why I think this is important is we all need consistency in our lives, don't we? Bills come into your home in a consistent fashion. Bills come into the church in a consistent fashion as well. Missionaries in the foreign fields are expecting regular giving to support what they are doing. The Hope Centers has regular needs of people that show up and they need all kinds of things that are supported. The staff of this church needs somehow to have their salary paid and all the good things that are going on in this church happen on a regular basis, much like they do in your home budget. And I would say to the leader of Crossroads Community Church, be open and transparent about how you spend the money. Because more than anything else, you as leaders of this church would want to make sure that you are building trust with the community that is giving to you. I would give them the principle of consistency. Then fourthly, I would give them the principle of anonymity. You recognize this, don't you? Money can cause some strange sentiments between people. If those who make a large amount of money somehow began to recognize that they also give a large amount of money, they could feel like major stockholders in the church, couldn't they? They would begin to think that they have greater weight than other people, and they could begin to sort of use their privilege in a fashion that would squelch others. And isn't it true that those who made less money and for that reason gave less now would begin to feel like second-class citizens as if their giving wasn't as important when in all honesty in the kingdom of God, it's all valuable? I would make sure we kept it incredibly anonymous with regards to giving. that if one of the rich donors of the church would say, listen, I'll underwrite this entire building for you, but you got to put a picture of my wife, Edna, on the front of the sanctuary and her favorite scripture, I'd say, listen, that is going to turn into a very egotistical thing, and we're not interested in doing so. We want the principle of anonymity. Fifthly, then, here's my last principle. I would give the principle of encouragement. I'd want to encourage people that were giving, wouldn't you? I'd want to say to people that every time you sort of push back the God of this world, which is the God of money, the God of things, the God of mammon, as Scripture calls it, any time you make a decision you are going to give to the work of the Lord and you push back the things of this world, I think it's commendable, don't you? I think when people say no to the things of the world in order that they might support kingdom work that has eternal value, I think that's a good thing, and I'd want to come alongside of them, and I'd want to encourage them. Because if you think about it for a moment, there's a whole lot of bad news out there, isn't there? All you got to do is turn on the television at night, and you can recognize there's war and abortion and divorce and struggle and hurt and pain all throughout this world, and nobody seems to have the answer. And there is only one institution in this entire world that has the ability to redeem the very soul of mankind, that has the ability to bring restoration in human life. It's the Church of Jesus Christ as the gospel goes forward from it. So I'd say, in effect, listen, the Church of Jesus Christ is the one thing that's going to last for all of eternity, and you and I got to be stored up our treasures, not here on this earth, but stored up our treasures in heaven. And I'd want to come alongside people who are willing to do so, and I'd want to say to them that what you are giving to is a noble endeavor, and I'd want to pat every single one of them on the back, wouldn't you? The problem is, it's hard to encourage people without breaking the principle of anonymity. How do I pin medals on the chest of well-deserving people when I don't know how much they give, so I don't have it all figured out? But somehow I'd want to stand in front of Crossroads Community Church and I want to say to them, listen, these are my five principles, including the principle of encouragement, participation, proportion, consistency, anonymity, and I would certainly want to encourage people. Now here's what I want you to see today. Three of these principles come from our portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6. Two of them come elsewhere in the New Testament. Let me just walk you through them. First of all, the principle of full participation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, here's how Jesus starts. So when you give. It doesn't say, if you think about it, throw a buck or two in the offering plate. It says, Jesus, so when you give. In other words, Jesus is saying it's an expectation of every follower of Jesus Christ that they're going to give to the work of the Lord. Jesus knows nothing of a follower of Jesus Christ that somehow doesn't give to the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 when he says, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Each one of you. Not the visitor from out of town that shows up on a Sunday morning, not non-believers that may be coming to your doors, but those of you who know Christ as your Savior, those who are committed to the ministry of this church, each one of you. In fact, the New Testament gives us this idea that our hearts are not fully redeemed until our pocketbook has been redeemed as well. That you and I have a whole life that needs to be lived under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and if somehow our money has not been submitted before the Lord, then our whole heart is not there. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would say this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, where you put your money, your heart begins to follow. First of all, I would remind you that there is a need for full participation. Can I just pause for a moment and speak to you as Sunnybrook Community Church? Listen, you are Sunnybrook Community Church, every single one of you. Look to the person to your left and to your right. You and you alone are Sunnybrook. That's not the bad news, that's the good news. And if every single one of you would take seriously the call of God to be a player in the kingdom of God, then this church would be well off financially in every single area, and the mission and the vision of this church would continue to move out. And I'm convinced of it. When you and I become players, when we get off of the pew, off of the grandstand, and we get onto the playing field, now all of a sudden we become owners, owners of the mission, owners of the vision. Now you and I have unity, that camaraderie that binds us together in what God has called us to do. Biblical principle number one is full participation. Biblical principle number two is this: cheerful proportion. Cheerful proportion. Do you know the scripture never gives to us a set amount of money that you and I need to give? The Old Testament gives us this hint of the tithe. It says it in the book of Malachi, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse. A tithe in Old Testament days was one-tenth. It's interesting to note, and I want to be honest with you, that tithe is never repeated in the New Testament. It's never rescinded, but it's never repeated. There is just this idea, as Paul begins to teach, that how you've been prospered, you give to God. In fact, the scripture goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each of you should give whatever he's decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? Because what God loves is a cheerful giver. You ever see a program on television where they sort of shout at you through the television and say, listen, if you don't give to this ministry is going to have to close the doors. I always think to myself, you never asked me when you opened the doors. Or sometimes I get a letter in the mail and they say, listen, as they underline and italicize it, hey, listen, you got to give to this ministry or this ministry will cease to exist. And I feel under compulsion. I feel as though I'm being forced to do so, don't you? Jesus says, when it comes to giving to the ministry, I don't want you to feel reluctant. I don't want you to feel under compulsion. I actually want you to be a joyful giver. So what can you give with joy? Out of what God has done for you, out of a joyful heart, what can you give back? Now, when people often say to me, where should I start? I would often say, hey, I think that Old Testament principle of the tithe is a good place to start. Now, I recognize some of you may be in debt, maybe you have medical bills, those kinds of things. Maybe instead of 10%, you start at 5% or 4% or 3%. I would just say every year, if you could increase it a little bit, maybe some of you have been so blessed by God would say, listen, I'm not giving 10%, I'm going to give 20%, 30%, whatever it might be, but you make a decision. What can you give joyfully? From my perspective, the most important issue is this, is that all of you participate. The amount that you give doesn't matter so much, but if you want to be an owner of the mission and the vision of what God is doing through this church, then the reality is I think you and I got to give, and we got to give cheerfully. Then thirdly, I want you to see this principle, committed consistency. Again, we talked about it already, but whether you give on a weekly basis, biweekly basis, or monthly basis, I would give consistently. Can I tell you how it should be done? As you sit down on a monthly basis and you're going to write out your bills, I would make sure that the first check that you write goes to the Lord. He wants the first fruit of your offerings. In other words, I'm saying every time I write the first check to God and to his kingdom work, I'm saying, in effect, God, you have first place in my life. I recognize most of us don't write checks anymore. Maybe you got to Venmo it. Maybe you got to set up an automatic withdrawal and you say, the first thing that I'm going to do with regards to giving is I'm going to give to the work of the Lord. The scripture says on the first day of the week, each of you should set aside a sum of money. Not legalistic, the first day of the week. Maybe it'd be biweekly, maybe it'd be monthly. Maybe you'd set it up through Venmo. Maybe you'd set it up through automatic giving. But make sure that it's consistent in your life. Why? Well, here's some motivation for you. For his compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That the compassion and the mercy of God is consistent in your life. And since it's been consistent to you, isn't it true that you and I then could be consistent in our love and our devotion to God? Then fourthly, I would say there's got to be humble anonymity. There just has to be. Humble anonymity. It says it well in this portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus, who is teaching, says, listen, Do not announce it with the trumpet as the hypocrites do to be honored by others. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, this is not true in today's day and age, but in the day and age of Jesus, this would have been a laugh out loud moment. People are often asking the question, did Jesus have a sense of humor? Absolutely, Jesus had a sense of humor. And when he began to teach this, most scholars said this would be a laugh out loud moment. Now, most humor from 50 years ago is still not funny. Can you imagine 2,000 years ago? It's probably not all that funny to us. But when Jesus said that, here's what he's saying. Suppose, he says, a hypocrite comes into the church and the offering plate is going around. And right before this hypocrite puts his money in the offering plate, he pulls out of his pocket a trumpet and he begins to play reveille. Can you imagine how silly that is? All of the audience that Jesus is teaching now begins to laugh. Yeah, all he wanted to do is call attention to himself. He kept a trumpet in his pocket and now he blares it so that everybody can see him. I think the analogy is often what men do at home. Men, do any of you do this? Whenever I unload the dishwasher, I blow the trumpet. Hey, hon, I just unloaded the dishwasher. Could I get some credit here? Hey, hon, I just picked up the downstairs. I vacuumed the carpet. I want everybody to know it because I want a little bit of credit. Jesus is saying, that's exactly what this hypocrite is doing. He's blowing a trumpet, calling attention to himself. And everybody began to laugh. And then he goes on to say this, but when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, I want your giving to the needy of this world to be so habitual that you actually don't even think about it. It just happens as second nature to you. It's a part of your DNA and it's a part of who you are. You just do it naturally. Name something else that we do naturally. I found this week that I tie my shoes. I don't think about it. Any of you think about it when you tie your shoes? Maybe when you first tied your shoes as a little kid, you had to think about it. And then when they got tied, you blew a trumpet because you wanted everybody to know that you'd finally tied your shoes. But here's the reality. Most of us don't even think about it when we tie our shoes. And then I would challenge you to do this sometime this week. When you're tying your shoes, have your left hand do what your right hand is doing and have your right hand do what your left hand is doing. You can't do it. Jesus is saying, when you give to the poor, I don't want your left hand to know what your right hand is doing. I want it to be so automatic. I want it to be so second nature for you to give to the poor and the needy of this world that you absolutely don't even think about it. And then here's the last principle, and I want you to see this. Godly encouragement. I told you this at the beginning, and I'm still struggling with this idea. But somehow I would want to provide some encouragement for people who are giving. There's a sense in which you look at the world and all that is going on around it and you begin to recognize that the ministry of Jesus Christ continues to go on and change hearts and change lives. And people who are given sacrificially to this, I'd want to think to myself, how can I somehow encourage you? Do you know what I've decided as I thought through that this week? In all honesty, I can't. I can't. For a couple of reasons. First of all, I don't know how much any of you give. I have no idea. I'd like to keep it that way. The second thing is this. Even if I knew how much you gave, I don't know how much you make. So I don't know if your giving is pocket change or if it's great sacrifice. I have no idea. But here's what I would say to you. In all of the years that I've been here, some 20 now at Sunnybrook Community Church, Beth and I have tithed faithfully to this church. I would never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. But never once have I ever felt unappreciated with regards to my giving. Nobody's ever pulled me aside and thanked me, but never once did I feel unappreciated. Because I reminded myself on a regular basis of this, I actually don't give to Sunnybrook Community Church, I give to the Lord. And what God decides to do with that and how he decides to use it is up to him. This is between me and God. And the reality is when Sunnybrook is blowing past the budget, when Sunnybrook is short of the budget, I give. When everything's going my way at Sunnybrook or when I disagree what's going on at Sunnybrook, I continue to give because I'm not giving to Sunnybrook, I'm giving to the Lord. And I'm convinced that's what God is calling every single one of us to do. So where does the encouragement come from? It comes from the Father. then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing, but it's just become a part of your DNA that you would begin in sort of the secondary nature to give to the poor and to the needy of this world, to care for the ministries of this church that are making an impact in this community. Scripture says, your Father sees what is done in anonymity, and he rewards you. So here's what I'm going to say to some of you today that maybe have never gotten involved in giving financially to the work of the Lord. I want to call you out of the grandstand, and I want to call you onto the playing floor. I want to give you a part to be a part of this team, this mission and vision of what God is doing through us. And we're going to set it up in such a way that once again, we're going to offer what we call the 90-day tithing challenge. In other words, we'd ask you to tithe for 90 days your income. And at the end of those 90 days, if God did not bless, not in just physical, material ways, but spiritually and emotionally, God didn't bless, you didn't see yourself to be a part of the kingdom, then at the end of 90 days, we'll give you all your money back. Listen, we had somebody take us up on this before. We'll do it. But here's what I want to remind you today. When you get out of the grandstand and you get onto the playing field, there's just something exciting about what God does in and through you that can't be explained. And even if you're here today and you're yet to sort of step across that line of faith, you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm glad you're here. I really am. I think it's good for you to know before I commit my life to Christ, what's expected of me? And here's what's expected of you. You'll never have to stand at an airport with a tin can and beg for money. You'll never have an elder show up at your house. This is between you and the Lord and you and the Lord only. But what we're always going to do is just preach and teach what the whole counsel of God's word says on this issue. This is how the church does ministry in the world. This is how the church makes kingdom impact.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, check out our Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper, practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. For other talks, videos, and live gatherings, rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes and Spotify. Download the Sunnybrook Church app or visit us at sunnybrookchurch.org. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.